5 knots, becoming south in the afternoon. The wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. I also have some current temperatures here for you. It's 52 in Monterey. It's 48 in Salinas, 47 in Watsonville. We're at 55 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. The official time is 10:06, 27 seconds on this Saturday, December 19th, 2009. And it is now time for the Saturday special with MZ. And you're tuned in to KSEO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James, and here is Michael Zwirling. Okay. He's not listening to me, so...
Yeah, I am. No, I'm not. But what did you say?
No, I'm not, but what did you say? That was awesome. You are woohoo. Look at your yellow T-shirt. That's fantastic.
I had to dress up for our special guest today.
Well, it looks good.
Usually I come to work in tatters.
Tatters.
Now it's just semi-tatters.
Semi.
Today. Right. So what did you ask me that I...
I didn't ask anything. Oh. I just said, hey.
Oh.
Hi.
Nikki James. How in the world are
Michael,
you?
Michael Zwirling. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Awesome.
We're gonna have a meaningful Saturday special for a change.
Well, they're all meaningful. This is meaningful in a different way.
Right. No, we're gonna have some fun, but it is a very, very serious subject, and it's about time we talked about this on KSEO. But you know what we really should do? We really should officially start the program,
because
you've done all
ticket.
Your stuff, right? So
yep.
Let's do it.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, y'all. Welcome to hour number one of your Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon. It's an audience participation interactive program. And today we are going to be covering a topic that blows me away. We haven't really, we've never done this subject before, but it's about time. So stay with us for the next 2 hours. You will be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
A surprising number of children are unable to live with their biological families due to abuse and neglect. Above the Line Homes for Kids is an agency that recruits, trains, and certifies foster parents who provide homes for youth ranging in age from birth to 18. It's about time KSCO focused on this major community problem. Join us on the next KSCO special for a frank discussion of child abuse and how to fix it. A pilot for what may become a regular program on KSCO. Scheduled guests include Above the Line Homes Executive Director Suzanne Stone, local pediatrician Dr. Jim Bennett, and Suzanne True, Executive Director of First Five Santa Cruz County. This special radio program is sponsored by Bay Federal Credit Union, AboveTheLine.org, the Santa Cruz County Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Commission, and KSCO Radio. Tune in this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Proud to present discussion on community issues that matter radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
I had no idea that there are as many children living in foster homes as there are. What are the statistics? Who wants to start first? Okay, Susan and not Suzanne, who I incorrectly called you on the promo. Get closer to the mic if you could, please, Susan, and let's welcome you to KSCO.
Sure, thanks for having us.
A little closer yet.
Oh. How's that?
Okay, good. You can pull the mic close to you. That'll work better.
There you go.
Good. Okay. Welcome to KSCO. And let's see, you are... what happened to the thing here? Tell us what you do. You're with the... which organization?
I'm with First Five Santa Cruz County.
Okay.
First Five has the privilege of giving out the California tobacco tax to early childhood programs.
Oh.
So everything we do supports children in their first 5 years of life.
Uh-huh. And how long has the agency been in existence, and how did it start?
Since the voters passed Proposition 10 in 1998, California has been collecting 50 cents a pack on every pack of cigarettes and giving it to little kids.
Hey, I like that. That's a tax. You know, there are some taxes that people don't like, but I like that tax for what it's worth, because it's a tax on things that are not real good.
Things that are not really good to do a lot of real good. So to ensure children with health coverage, to reduce child abuse and neglect, to promote school readiness skills, make sure children have the right start in life. Because we know those first few years of life are some of our most dramatic in human development.
How do people learn to be good parents? That's a great question for you.
Well, that's a great question for all of us. I think if only we had the secret taken care of. But I think one message that I would like to get across today is what's old is new again. Some of the most incredible research has been done in the last 15 years about our brains and how they develop and what we need to grow into healthy adults. And a lot of it reinforces, you know, our most ancient teachings about child rearing: responsiveness, language-rich environments, calm, caring, consistent, loving relationships with at least one adult. That's what children need. And so what parents need is to be that calm, consistent, responsive person. And this is a time of year where it's hard to do that. Families are stressed. Financially, things are hard right now. Running around, getting Christmas trees.
When you say, yeah, this time of year, yeah, you're talking about the global recession, plus this is the normal time of year when people are running around and not paying much attention. I would think just the opposite. I mean, it's a time to be with family and appreciate family and so forth, but it just doesn't work out that way, huh?
Well, that's what we want to encourage people to do today, to just be with their kids, enjoy your kids. Don't worry about all the small stuff, and have that time with the child that every child needs to have a warm, responsive relationship with their parent.
Now, who can argue with any of that? But I'm fascinated by the whole notion of how some people are lousy parents, right? Okay, and what do you do with the lousy parents? I mean, there's nothing you can do with them, really. They've got their kids, and I guess what happens is, what's the matter? Oh, the other Suzanne. Suzanne wants to talk.
Yeah.
Suzanne Stone.
Yeah, I have a concern about the term lousy parents. I think what happens is that there are generational behaviors that cause people to be ineffective parents. They may have experienced abuse and neglect in their own lives. We in our culture don't have any training on how to be a parent. You know, you take all these classes for how to support yourself and you go to college, but there aren't any parenting classes. And I really agree with what Susan says. Those are the key things that parents need to be able to do to be with their children, is to nurture them, spend time with them. And I think that one of the problems is that most parents don't understand developmental stages. And so often a parent can be punitive with a child around their behavior because they think the child is intentionally misbehaving, when they just don't have the developmental skills to do what the parent is expecting of them. So I think what we need to do most is support parents first. It's kind of like when you're taking a flight and they talk to you about the oxygen mask coming down, and they say, parents with children, put the mask on yourself first and then on the child. And I think that's what we need to do, that we need to offer more support, parenting classes, not be pejorative about parents who aren't caring for their children in the optimum way, but to join them and support them in getting the skills that they need. And then they can join and support their children in getting the skills that they need developmentally to be successful.
You know, talking about the airline thing where the mask drops down when they give you the instructions to put it on yourself first. When I first heard that, I said, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, because you're supposed to care about your kid before yourself. But
well, the point is that if you're not caring for yourself, if you're not dealing with your own stress, and I think that's a lot of what we're talking about with abuse and neglect, are parents that are very stressed and not regulated in their own lives. Mm-hmm. And when we're stressed, we're not able to think clearly. We can't problem solve. We don't communicate well. So I think that's one of the first things that we have to help parents do, is to recognize their own stress and take care of themselves and try and remove some of that. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later, what we can do for the holidays.
And Above the Line is dedicated to doing just that, I guess, right?
Well, we have our foster family agency, Homes for Kids, and we recruit and train and certify foster parents. And then we place children with them that the counties refer to us. And one of the things that we focus on is called positive discipline. And all of our parents are trained in the positive discipline method of relating to children. And it's not punishment based. It's really based on trying to understand why the children behave the way they do. Uh-huh. And you do that, you know, talk to them. What happened? And then you ask them how they feel about what happened. Maybe they're being aggressive with someone. Is that something they would like for themselves? And most of them are going to say no. And then you try to do collaborative problem solving with them. Well, what can we do now? This situation has happened. How can you correct it? What have you learned from it? What do you want to do differently in the future? What were you trying to get by the behavior? And we join with them in a very respectful way to solve their problems, because that's really the point as parents. We want to teach our children how to be responsible, cooperative, competent, learn social skills. And generally, punishment doesn't do that. I think talking to children about expectations and teaching them is much more effective.
Makes sense to me. Now, Dr. James Bennett, Dr. Jim Bennett, who's a pediatrician at Capitola Pediatrics, also pediatric medical director at Dominican Hospital. Welcome to KSCO.
Thank you. One other point that I thought Suzanne brought up, or at least touched on, is that, you know, parenthood, no one has a lot of training as they have their first child. And a lot of what happens is parents or new parents fall back on the patterns that they had in their own experience as a child in a home. Some of those patterns are very helpful and are healthy. And other patterns they might have picked up as a child actually are not. And so I think it's really helpful for young parents, or actually parents of any age, to take time to examine their own childhood and look back as far as what were effective parenting patterns that they received as a child and what weren't. Because so many of us as parents fall back into replaying a pattern that we had as a child, and separating out those that worked and didn't work, I think, is a good first step. And then, as Suzanne mentioned, you know, concentrating on trying to enhance our own skills that are really helpful for our kids, I think, is an important part of being a parent.
You are, I guess, a little bit of child psychology is necessary in pediatrics, or is this something that you have chosen to practice? Because when I think of a pediatrician, I think of a medical doctor who specializes in treating youngsters. Now, I feel like I'm talking to a child psychologist also, right? Is that how all pediatricians are these days? Or, see, I wouldn't know.
Right. Well, you know, general pediatrics covers a lot of different areas, and there is a specific area of training where there's a psychologist who does just pediatric issues. But nonetheless, we really try to treat the whole patient, and psychological elements are part of it. We don't have the specialized training of a child psychiatrist, but there's a lot of issues that come to play in not only the medical side of things, but the mental health of a child that really, it's hard to separate them out.
You have been practicing in this area for how long?
For about 12 years.
Okay, and in that 12 years, have you noticed changes in behaviors? It's not a real long time, but like comparing back when we were youngsters, or actually I think I'm considerably older than you are, but so.
Well, there's in my 12 years here, there have been a couple interesting trends, and it deviates a little bit from the topic, but certainly parents, I think, feel now very empowered by the internet.
Uh-huh.
So oftentimes come to appointments with specific questions, information, a lot of times misinformation. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
That's right, because you could put anything out on the internet, you can publish it, whether it's correct or not correct.
Right, and so a lot of my time these days, as opposed to, say, a decade ago, is really trying to work through information that they are actually coming to the appointment with. I think kids these days, going back to the topic, really are more stressed. I think there is more pressures on kids these days that relate to performance. You only need to look at sports these days to see how kids are really forced to perform and to specialize at a much earlier age than we've ever seen before. You see some kids, even in elementary school, who now have picked their sport and are doing one sport year-round, which, you know, one or two decades ago would have really been unheard of. You know, the kids play baseball in the spring and football in the fall and basketball in the winter. But now you're really seeing this, I think, specialization, which I'm not happy that we as a culture are really pushing kids in that direction. But I think it is more stressful these days as a child just because of the stresses of performance in our culture are so reinforced, not only in the sports field, but in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Are there more youngsters all the time requiring foster homes?
Santa Cruz County has consistently had more children with abuse and neglect, substantiated abuse and neglect, than other counties in California. So we have a significant problem in Santa Cruz County. By the numbers, that's around, you know, about 300 kids at any given time who are under the jurisdiction of the court because they cannot be. The court actually needs to make sure that they are safe and protected. And so we have this problem in Santa Cruz County, and in some ways I think of it as our best-kept secret because so many of us enjoy a high quality of life here and feel safe, but many of our children don't. And so a lot of what we want to talk about today is both bring awareness about that issue for the kids who haven't been safe in their homes, so we need to make sure are always safe forevermore, and also to help families who are really struggling, who maybe things look good on the outside, but inside the parents are so stressed and the children are starting to have behaviors that are very hard to manage. And we want to offer support to listeners today about how to handle that and how to get back to just enjoying your kids, the kind of basics of time together that leads to a healthier relationship for everybody.
All right. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're talking about positive parenting, it's a topic. I don't. Why is this topic not discussed more on talk radio? Does anybody have a notion? Because people only care about politics, about fighting, about liberals and conservatives and everything. Is that why is that? It would seem to me that this would be something that would be a very popular topic. Everybody's at a loss for words. That's amazing. Just amazing.
I do think we are still struggling with some issues around families, that what happens in families is a private thing, and it's a hard thing to talk about. I also think many of us feel helpless about how to support families who are struggling. Nobody has a secret. There isn't a silver bullet to parenting. Every parent is different. Every child is different. And so, I think it's far more nuanced than a liberal-conservative debate that you're describing on talk radio. It really is about getting to the essence of what did this parent experience? What does this child experience? What do they need? What are the values? It's a nuanced discussion that takes in a lot of important things from incredible neuroscience and child development and some really great cutting edge stuff about how we develop to, you know, a very basic sense of how we love each other.
Uh-huh. Is everybody in this room a parent? I'm not, but everybody else? Yes. Everybody's nodding. Okay. And, and your kids are grown, presumably, or yours are?
I've got a 8, 10 and 12 year old, so I'm right in the thick of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you learned to be a good parent?
Well, you know, as I reflect on parenthood, I do look back at my own childhood and look at my parents, and I've learned a lot from them about what worked and at times what didn't work. And then I think one of the points here today is, you know, that parenting is you learn it on the job for most of us. And I think now there's becoming some research, as Susan touched on, about really what are some of the nuggets, golden nuggets of how to become a good parent. And there's some wonderful books and websites out there. But a lot of it is learning on the job and realizing what you've done well and then realizing when you make a mistake and thinking through it and thinking, wow, how could I have handled that situation better last time or next time? Just as an example, you know, I've one of my daughters just a couple weeks ago melted down, and we were, you know, trying to work through it. And I soon realized that, you know, the time to deconstruct what went wrong was not at the heat of the moment. And that was a really good teaching moment for me as a parent, that next time that happens, I'm just going to let it bubble over, let the emotional level come down, and then a day later, a week later, in a calm moment, we're going to talk about it and deconstruct it.
And that's not the way you handled it originally?
No, I mean, I tried to kind of work through it in the heat of the moment, and it was disastrous.
Oh.
And it's little things like that that I think as parents, I think that you have to keep working through these situations and finding what works and what doesn't. And the challenge is that it's a moving target. You know, kids' developmental needs, intellectual needs change through their years from birth to 18. And so what worked with a 2-year-old might not work with a 5-year-old. But there are some general principles that I think work that I think Suzanne and Susan touched on, which is, you know, communication is absolutely essential, whatever form it comes in, respect, parent-child, child-to-parent, consistency of rules.
That goes with dealing with children of all ages, right?
Yes.
All of the above.
Right.
Now, are there certain things that you do differently with children of different ages? I mean...
Well, I think the basic approach that we're talking about applies not only to children of different ages. You have to modify it. But the positive discipline method of communication works with everybody. It works with everyone in your family. It works with coworkers, folks in the community. If you approach situations in a problem-solving rather than an angry, punitive manner when something goes wrong. And I think with children, sometimes it's tempting to fall back on ways that you were raised, and also to look at their behavior with an intention component that's not there, that could be just a developmental issue. You know, she's melting down in the store and she's really bugging me because she wants a toy, and that's inappropriate. It may be that she's melting down for who knows what reason. So what you want to do
is melting down, I think I know what you mean, but is it another... Is it the same as throwing a tantrum?
Uh-huh.
That's the old way of saying throwing a tantrum.
Pitch a fit.
So
hissy fit, right?
If you look at it as the child, whatever they're doing that you might classify as a misbehavior, is really a failed communication attempt. They're trying to tell you something, but they're doing it in a way that is not making the point. In fact, can be very aggravating to the parent.
So if you sit the kid down and say, what are you trying to tell me?
Well, I would not recommend
not a
that.
Way to do it.
I think what Dr. Bennett said is very important. Sometimes the moment when the behavior is occurring is not the time that you're going to deal with it, because the child isn't emotionally available to you at that time, whether it's a young child or it's a teen, and you're not in a place, if you're reacting to it and your stress level is up, you're not capable of really paying attention, listening, communicating, and coming from a problem-solving mode. So it's we have to regulate ourselves.
It'll always go from bad to worse in that situation,
always. Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all part of just realizing about de-stressing your whole life and understanding, not just with kids, but in dealing with everybody, mm-hmm. I would think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So why are teenagers, everybody knows that teenagers are... They terrible twos. They talk about teenagers being unmanageable and so forth. Why is that?
Their brains are different. There's as Susan was saying, there's been a lot of research on brain development, and a lot of the behaviors that you see from adolescents, and you just think, why do they have such poor judgment? Why are they taking risks? It's all to do with their brain development and how it's working. So they have that issue. They also have tremendous pressures. They're trying to be independent and reconcile that with the freedom and responsibility. They have all of the social pressures at their schools, the academic pressure. They're getting to the point where they're going to have to be prepared to do something academically, either to go on to college, and that's very competitive to get into good schools. Mm-hmm. They're trying to think, how are they going to take care of themselves? They're all the social pressures, sexual pressures, popularity pressures. They're under tremendous stress all the time. And as we've talked about a lot today, when you're under stress, you don't think as clearly, you don't solve problems as well, you certainly can't communicate as well. So I think if we're going to have empathy for any age, it should definitely go to the teens because they're so challenged.
You use the term adolescent. When I know, how long is adolescence typically? Is it different?
Research, I think they're saying it goes into your 20s, really, in terms of what's going on in your brain, how your brain is functioning.
What's the actual definition of adolescent? I remember when I was a certain age, my mother would describe me to her friends as, oh, he's an adolescent. But
I think we think of it as the teen years, but yeah, it really goes beyond the teen years, as we're discovering, in terms of functionality.
Means between childhood and adulthood, I guess, is technically what it means, right? Okay, yeah, go ahead, Dr. Jim.
I just had one comment about stress. Suzanne talked about stress and how much stress adolescents are under, and it's interesting. Stress is in itself an interesting topic physiologically, and to understand stress in a long perspective, it's had an important role in us surviving as a species, right? So the human physiology developed stress to respond to life-threatening events. You know, stumbling across a saber-toothed tiger. It helps to suddenly have those stress hormones kick in and focus your brain and increase your heart rate, send blood flow to your muscles so you could run away or fight. And what happens with stress is that, yes, you do get that surge of this hormone cortisol, which really changes the physiology of your body. However, if it's chronic stress, you can't keep that up all the time. That cortisol stimulation, fight or flight feeling physiology really cannot hold for very long. And what you start to see then is irritability, fatigue, headache, abdominal pain. So some of these chronic
weight gain.
Actually, sometimes weight loss. It'll decrease. Well, it depends your response to stress. Some people then will eat as comfort, but a lot of times cortisol will suppress the appetite. But the point being that for parents, if you're starting to see signs and symptoms in your children or particularly adolescents of some of these signs of fatigue, irritability, headaches, abdominal pain, you do have to say, is there a component of chronic stress? And then try to get to the root of the issue. So stress can be a good thing in certain situations, but as a chronic
process. It's an alarm.
Process,
it's
yes.
An alarm that something needs attention.
Right, and it can actually progress to depression, major depression. You know, some of the biology of major depression now is really looking at hormones, you know, dopamine and serotonin, which are depleted over time with stress. And so there really is some neurochemistry with depression as it relates to stress. And so the holidays being a stressful time, it's important, I think, for us to look out for our loved ones if we're seeing signs of chronic stress, because that can really lead to significant health issues.
Wow. Yeah, why is it that during the holiday season people are more stressed? Why is that?
Boy, I think a lot of reasons, and I think it's different for adults, it's different for adolescents, it's different for children. I think, speaking for children, the young children, certainly illness, I think, is a big element of stress for the individual and their families. You know, we do see a lot more respiratory illness during the winter months, and that's a huge stressor on the family as well as the child. For school-aged children, I'm amazed at how much schoolwork schools have the children do over the Christmas holiday, over the winter holiday. And I was talking to my 12-year-old, and I asked her this question, you know, what stresses you out this time of the year? And the first thing she said was you know, the schoolwork over the Christmas holiday. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember for those of us that have school-aged children, is to early on in the holiday break, ask them what they have that's due come early January and break it down and try to break it down into workable elements so that that isn't an increasing area of stress for the children. I think the older adolescents, Suzanne's talked a lot about the stresses that they have, and certainly for adults, the economics of pulling off a holiday season are very real. And then the time management issue. You know, there's so many activities that people want to do, but I think a lot of times we overextend ourselves, and that's very stressful. So I think there's a lot of elements of stress this time of year particularly.
Yeah, Suzanne, you have something to add?
Yes, I'd like to talk about the adult stress, because the adult stress creates child stress. I think our culture for a long time has really led us to expect the holidays to be a time of abundance and happiness and families getting together, you know, the Hallmark card kind of Christmas, and it's not real. All families have stress and problems, and often they're triggered by holidays. So I think that we put a false expectation on ourselves to have everything be picture perfect, and it can't be. And now with the recession, I think there's a lot of guilt that parents have, and maybe some shame that they don't have the money to provide what they have in the past. And so they're feeling disappointed in themselves, and then that makes their stress level go up. And of course, as we know, that creates irritability and all these other things that we've talked about. And my hope is that families will be more realistic in their expectations of themselves, and to recognize this is a very difficult time economically. No one is doing what they used to do. And I think some of it can be replaced with, what are we doing as a family? Let's create some new family traditions that don't cost anything. Let's see what we can do to help other people who are having difficulties over the holiday. You know, let's see if we can, as a family, make a donation, even if it's a small donation, to an organization that we want to support. And you can go to the United Way website, and it lists a lot of nonprofits, and talk to your family or children. Well, what would you like to do? Who would you like to contribute to? And I think that...
You need idea to your own kids, huh?
And, you know, children will respond to that immediately. I know I have a 14-year-old, and during Katrina, we were watching all of the horrific situations people were going through. And I got very upset, and I said, I just have to go to the Red Cross right now and make a donation. So we jumped in the car and went down there, and she had her purse, and she had just had her, she was probably about 10 at the time, had her allowance in her purse. And so I wrote out my check, and she pulled out her allowance, and she said, I want to make a donation too. And that was a significant moment for her, and it was a very empowering moment for her, because she was very stressed by what she saw and feeling like, I can't do anything for anyone. And she saw, I can make a contribution financially if I can't be there to help them. And there are lots of things that families can do in the community to volunteer. You know, there are events to help others, to serve meals. You can collect
food
for a food bank. Lots and lots of things that you as a family can do to feel good about making a contribution to help others. So I think that's something that we want to look at. And there are also many activities in the community that are free. You can look in the Good Times. You can look in Growing Up Santa Cruz. These are free magazines. And go through them with your family and say, oh, what do we want to do? There's something that's going on, you know, that has to do with nature or a community activity of creating something. I mean, there are all kinds of things going on every single weekend that are no cost or low cost. So I think if families can meet, I think that's a really important thing we want to do, is look at having family meetings where you talk about the issues and you come up with solutions together. And that empowers your children as well as you.
I think that's a great point, Suzanne, about a lot of times kids, and particularly adolescents, I think get out of that kind of egocentric view of the world when they are seeing other human beings that have a lot less than they do. So this is a wonderful time, I think, particularly with parents with school age or adolescents or high schoolers, to try to involve themselves in helping families that have less than you do. And it can be a really transformative event for adolescents who then suddenly realize, I do have a lot. and I don't need more, and I don't need that iPod or whatever. And it really, I think, changes the family dynamics in the sense that then the parent doesn't have the stress because the child's not asking for it. So volunteering or offering services to families less fortunate than you can, I think, be a very helpful event for families.
For people of all ages.
Yes,
there's always someone
absolutely.
There's always someone who's much worse off than you are.
And it goes back to that.
Regardless of what age you are. And when you realize that, you feel a whole lot better.
Right.
I mean,
it goes
not that anybody else is not doing well, but that, hey, it's not so bad for me.
You appreciate what you have.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it goes back to, the role model concept that as role models as parents, if we do that, in our daily lives, we're teaching our children how to do that when they are in a position where they can be a volunteer.
We had a call from a community member recently, and she said that that's what she's been teaching her son, is for his holiday, he doesn't get presents. They give him funds, and he buys things for other people. And what he was doing, his current project, was buying shoes and socks for kids that foster kids and children that might not have new things or as many new things. And she said he is thrilled with that. He's not interested in getting gifts for himself. He is so happy getting gifts for other people.
So much of it is this holiday is really about emotional connectivity. You know, I think we lose sight of that, that really what kids and adults are looking for, I think, is just some deep emotional connectivity to each other or to spiritual beliefs or whatever you want. But if you peel away all the events and the gifts and everything, that's really what we're trying to get at. And so focusing on activities that promote that, I think, are what really are meaningful, and you walk away from an event feeling satisfied.
And you can create a new family tradition. Every year we volunteer
sure.
here or do this, give to that agency.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So people look forward to it mm-hmm. during the year. You know, it's great. You're listening to a discussion of positive parenting here on AM 1080 KSCO. Special guest Suzanne Stone, Executive Director of Above the Line, which is a local nonprofit foster family agency. Dr. Jim Bennett, pediatrician at Capitola Pediatrics, also pediatric medical director at Dominican Hospital, and Susan True, who is the executive director of First Five Santa Cruz County. In her role at First Five, Susan leads the county's investment in children from birth to 5 years old, develops research-based programs, oversees evaluation and administration, and plans for future needs of young children. So we're on the Saturday special right up until 12. We're going to be opening the phone lines here pretty soon. But for right now, Nikki, let's do a break here. I will let people know that the special sponsors of this program are Bay Federal Credit Union, making a real difference in our community since 1957. To learn more, visit one of Bay Federal's branches or go to www.bayfed.com. Above the Line, Homes for Kids, www.abovetheline.org, 662-9081 is the phone number, 662-9081 in Area 831. Above the Line, Homes for Kids is a nonprofit social service agency that provides safe, secure, therapeutic foster homes for children who are unable to live with their biological families due to abuse and neglect. The agency recruits, trains, and certifies foster parents who provide homes for youth ranging in age from birth to 18. The other sponsor of this program is the Santa Cruz County Juvenile Justice Delinquency Prevention Commission, dedicated to the promotion of an effective juvenile justice system, providing credibility, dignity, fairness, and respect for youth and other citizens of our county. And, of course, KSCO Radio, AM 1080. So, Nikki, let's take the commercial break, and then we will come back and maybe open the phone lines at that point. So stay with us.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
This is Stephen Martinelli. I'm here with my son, John, the fourth generation president of our family's 140-year-old cider company.
All of us at Martinelli's wish you a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
Hi, everyone. Andy Anderson here. Are you using those little bottles of hand gel that kill germs, bacteria, and other nasties? In today's world, that's smart, especially with the filthy doorknobs, shopping carts, and handrails we touch every day. Did you know that once the alcohol evaporates in a few seconds, goodbye effectiveness. No more protection till you use it again. PureWorks to the rescue. Our FDA-compliant foam, lotion, soap, and spray do not contain alcohol. Their killing power lasts up to 4 hours. PureWorks disinfecting spray is EPA-certified to kill swine flu, bird flu, MRSA, HIV, hepatitis B and C, and for our friends in medicine, kills C. diff, along with a whole host of viruses and bacteria. Molds and fungus, too. It's even safe around pets and children. You'll love how your skin feels with PureWorks, soft and supple. No more dry skin. Here's to a little peace of mind knowing that your hands are still germ-free hours later. Call now, toll-free, 888-245-0300 to get your hands on PureWorks and get PureWorks on your hands. That's 888-245-0300.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
Have a merry, merry, practical holiday season this year. Hello, we're the Trowbridge Brothers of Palace Art and Office Supply. I'm Gary.
Hi, I'm Frank.
And I'm Roy. You can be practical and you can have a lot of fun with Palace's one-stop shopping for everyone on your list.
And with Palace's great customer service, you'll always get the help you need to find the perfect gift. Listen.
Crayola markers and set.
Artist brush sets.
French easels.
Airbrushes.
Stocking stuffers, stocking stuffers, stocking stuffers.
And cross pens.
Waterman pens.
Stainless steel water bottles.
Photo albums.
Photo boxes.
Lamps.
Get all the gift-giving help you need.
With Palace Art and Office Supplies one-stop shopping, you'll be able to stretch your holiday budget a long, long way and have lots of fun finding gifts for everyone on your list.
Have a very merry, practical holiday this year. Visit Palace Art and Office Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and on 41st Avenue in Capitola.
Hey gals, Phyllis Anderson here. Have you ever looked at women on TV and thought, I wish my skin looked like that? How do they do it? Really good makeup, that's how. Well, Dr. Wallach, the mineral doctor, has brought us Pure Mineral Makeup. Other brands contain heavy metals, dyes, and fillers you might not want on your face. Yes, we all want to look good, but we also want to protect our skin, keep it young, and keep out toxins. Now, I never used to wear foundation. My skin looked fine, and who wants to smear glop on your face and wear a mask all day? Well, one day I looked in the mirror and saw lots of brown spots from sun exposure. I tried the Youngevity Mineral Makeup and was thrilled. It's so easy to use and feels lighter than air. My skin looks perfect. The brown spots have faded back and my skin has actually improved. Makeup is fun again. Ladies, once you try Youngevity Mineral Makeup, there's no going back. You won't want to leave home without it. Call us now, toll free, 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Hi, this is Joel Wade from Lean Into Life, and just wanted to wish you a happy holiday season.
Teach your children well.
Seals and Crofts. Is that right?
Crosby and...
Oh, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Okay. Oh, jeez. Oh, I feel terrible.
Come on, Crosby.
You
knew
are
that.
So good. You knew that. So good at what you do, Nikki. You come up with a perfect, appropriate, you know, bumper music and so forth. Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special on KSCO AM 1080. This is a program on positive parenting, really put together by John Cirillo with the help of the Santa Cruz County Child Abuse Prevention Council and the United Way of Santa Cruz County. I think it's a great topic, and we were talking during the break. One of the guests asked me, do you have phone calls during this program? I said, yeah, normally we do. In fact, sometimes the phones are just lit up. Now, we haven't actually technically invited any phone calls, but I'm going to do that right now. Phone numbers for your participation, if you want to call KSCO, is 479. We have a bank of phone lines, but if you dial 479-1080 in area 831, it'll connect you to all the lines here, okay? And if the one line is busy, it'll forward to the next until we're out of lines. So if you have a question, there are all kinds of things to cover which we haven't yet. The challenges of divorced families and so forth. The challenges of whether or not to have a flu shot or an H1N1. These are all topics that we can talk about. Anyhow, if you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080. If you want to shoot us an email, use my email address. That's mz@ksco.com. And you can participate that way. Should I give the fax number? Yeah, some people still send faxes. 475-2967 in area 831. 475-2967. Ooh, it's filling up fast. We're starting to get phone calls now. Okay. And you haven't even said anything controversial. You know, so maybe we won't have to say anything controversial to get the phones ringing here. But anyhow, might as well, since we got the phone, we've asked for them, we got some of them anyhow, so let's go to our first caller, Dana in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO. You're on the air.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dana. How about you?
Good. I can throw a rock at your place. I listen to you guys quite frequently, and this is a great topic.
Oh, thank you, but please don't throw a rock at our place.
No. Anyway, yeah, the reason why I'm
I think that means because he must be real close, like across the street
or
something.
Yeah, no, very close.
Okay, good.
You guys got an awesome station.
Thank you.
I think you're over KGO, as a matter of fact.
I would, too. What a coincidence.
The reason why I'm calling is I'm a single parent. I've been raising my kids for roughly to when they're 13 and 14 now, since they're in preschool. And they were going to be put in foster care. And their mother's an addict, and she's currently got her youngest one in foster care now, and being it's the half siblings, I can't adopt him. And there's a wonderful lady out there that's going to adopt him. And I'm just glad that what you're doing, and you got a great program and a great topic, and I just give you all the support that I possibly could give you, and I hope that the other people in the community as well do the same.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, certainly, you know, but we're hoping that we could put out some positive information for people who might be under too much stress to pick up this information any other way if they happen to be listening to the radio today.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully.
I mean, children are very important in our community, in our lives, and, you know, we've got to look at them first. And it's time that we all get together with programs like this and support you people.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Dana. I appreciate
your
kind
you
words.
Have a pleasant holiday and Happy New Year. And
you
keep
too.
Up the good work.
Thanks for the kind words. That was Dana in Santa Cruz. 479-1080 is the phone number if you want to call us here at AM 1080 KSCO. We're talking about positive parenting. Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Jim.
You know, one thing Dana touched on, he's got two kids, 13 and 14, and I've been surprised sometimes at how I don't know what my kids are really looking for during the holidays, and it sometimes is quite surprising. And so One tool that parents can sometimes use at the beginning of a holiday break is actually sitting down as a family and saying, going around and asking each individual, what do you really want to do or what to get done this holiday break? And it sometimes is quite surprising and informative, and then you can help plan your whole holiday season, because for someone it might be just decorating a Christmas tree, or someone else wants to go, you know, look at the lights, and knowing what each individual child and each adult really wants to do, their one thing that they're really looking forward to, I think helps everyone catch the highlights of what they want to do and yet not run everyone ragged trying to do everything.
Yeah, people are nodding their head in the studio here. We got another caller here. Now, it's interesting, we have icons that the call screener can put up on the screen. We have a smiling face icon, and we have just an indifferent icon. And the icon for the next call here is a very angry icon that's yelling and screaming. Now, I don't know if that, am I right? Isn't that, that's how I interpret the icon that you of the not very happy face. Nikki, you want to?
If it's the caller that called me before, which I think it is, she's not very happy.
Oh.
But we'll see.
Okay.
It may not be. It
and
just
then,
sounded like
And then you're
like
going to feel terrible.
I will. I'll feel horrible and I'll have to apologize, which
okay,
I will
good.
Do.
Okay.
Because I was taught by my parents to apologize if I do something wrong.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Marcella in Salinas. Welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't mean to rain on your parade, but it's really amazing that the head of pediatrics and foster care personnel are on the same show. I want to ask a very simple question. Isn't it true that within 12 hours of birth, a child is given a hepatitis B shot, which is very toxic, and which is a disease of prostitutes and drug addicts, and that CPS is there threatening the mother, or they will take the baby away if she doesn't submit to her child having this toxic vaccine?
People in the studio here are looking at each other with incredulity on their faces.
Well, could they just answer the question?
Sure, no, I'd be happy to. CPS is not waiting to take anyone's child away if you decline the hepatitis B vaccine. It's a free country. People can choose if they want to immunize children or not. And hepatitis B is a choice. People can decide to immunize their children at birth or not. From a public policy standpoint, why we do recommend hepatitis B vaccinations during birth is because the vertical transmission of hepatitis B is a real significant problem in this country and elsewhere, meaning mothers passing it.
Not for a newborn child, sir.
Well, if the mother has hepatitis B illness.
How many mothers have hepatitis B so that every child is forced? And don't tell me women are not pressured. Don't tell me that they are not even vaccinated behind the parents' back.
Well, it's...
Maybe it doesn't happen at your hospital.
Well, you just made a very serious charge, Marcella.
No, you need actually informed consent.
I wish women would call in, stop being afraid, and expose the truth. And did you hear the news this week? Now they're finally admitting 1 in 91 children are autistic, up from 1 in 65, but for boys it's actually 1 in 30. So as far as I'm concerned, pediatrics get an F. We have a population of children that have epidemics of asthma, diabetes, all these autoimmune diseases. And you can negate the fact that vaccines are a problem, but when it's one in every two, maybe people will wake up, and then it's going to be too late. And I am angry. So, you know, I really get sick and tired how children are abused in this country. And the easiest way to say it is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I mean, they go after infectious diseases. There's a shot for every infectious disease, all these temporary booster shots that are toxic. And in the meantime, have you heard of the thimerosal generation, sir? Read evidence of harm. That's all I have to say.
We're happy you called KSCO to say it. Marcella hung up, so she wouldn't even wait for me to thank her for calling. All righty. Well,
I realize that immunizations are a hot topic locally and nationally, yeah. But I think if you look historically over the last 100 years.
Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we got to go for the news. KSCO Santa Cruz, Linus Monterey, San Jose, 11 a.m.
Step forward for the American people.
President Obama speaking just moments ago about Senate Democrats being able to round up 60 votes to pass health care reform.
With today's developments, it now appears that the American people will have the vote they deserve on genuine reform.
Let's go live now to Capitol Hill for the details with Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz.
Democratic leaders got all 60 members on board after cutting a deal with Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson.
What's in it for me is what's in it for people in Nebraska and the country.
That includes having the federal government pick up all of Nebraska's Medicaid bills, something other states won't enjoy. North Carolina Republican Richard Byrd denounced the horse trading.
You've got to compliment Ben Nelson for playing The Price is Right.
Well, meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders was kept on board with $10 billion for community health centers.
That's not a sweetheart deal.
One loser, doctors. A provision that would have prevented a one-year payment cut under Medicare was dropped. Karen?
Mike, getting around isn't easy on the East Coast with a nor'easter paying a visit.
The perfect nor'easter storm just keeps falling around D.C. and beyond.
We're experiencing about 1.2 inches per hour, which is a very significant rate.
Too much, says Keith Compton of Montgomery County, Maryland's Transportation Department, for the plows to keep up. The region's three major airports are open, sort of.
We are having some flights arrive and depart, but the majority of flights have been canceled this morning.
Jonathan Dean at Baltimore Washington International has no idea when things will be back to normal. Adding to the snow woes, the wind. The National Weather Service now issuing a blizzard warning for the D.C. area for all day. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
And the first flakes are falling in New York. The city says it's got 2,000 plows ready to go. This is the last weekend before Christmas, making all this snow most unwelcome by retailers. This is supposed to be Super Saturday, full of profits. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Talk salutes our listeners in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania. Listening to Fox News Talk, and stay tuned as we continue our salute to the 50 states of freedom.
An Israeli soldier may not be home yet because of Israel's prime minister.
Fox News has learned that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been reluctant to sign off on an agreement presented 3 weeks ago to secure the release of kidnapped Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. Netanyahu's six senior cabinet members are divided over the proposed deal. Among the reservations that were raised, what would an agreement like this mean for Israel, a country constantly in a state of war? By releasing 1,000 prisoners for one soldier, it's uncertain what the future consequences might be if Israel finds itself in a similar situation. Next week, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to meet with the head of Egyptian intelligence, Omar Suleiman. It's possible we may learn more about what direction these talks are taking. In Jerusalem, Rena Ninen, Fox News Radio.
The number of people in prison could be in decline for the first time in 40 years. Here's why. It's expensive to house and feed a prisoner, so more states are granting parole. A former head coach who holds the record for the most career victories in men's college basketball is speaking out about the current game.
Kentucky head college basketball coach John Calipari now responding to former coach Bobby Knight, who said this week at an Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame fundraiser.
There is an integrity that's lacking in college sports.
Knight went on to name Calipari as an example.
We've got a coach at Kentucky that put two schools on probation University of Massachusetts and Memphis State, and he's still coaching.
Calipari says the game does not lack integrity and that him, Calipari, being a coach is proof of that. And Calipari says he's still a big fan of Knight. Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
James Cameron's latest movie, Avatar, opens strong at the box office, taking in $27 million on its opening day. The snow was expected to get in the way of it breaking the December opening record. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I have your forecast here for the weekend. Today, we're going to have a mixture of sun and clouds, high of 66, the north-northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 47 with light winds, and Sunday, cloudy with a high of 64 and light winds. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming northwest 5 to 10 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 3 feet and a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 12 seconds. Tonight, west winds 10 knots becoming east after midnight. Wind waves less than 2 feet and a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. On Sunday, east winds 5 knots becoming south in the afternoon. The wind waves less than 2 feet and a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. Current temperatures, it's 54 degrees in Monterey, 51 in Salinas, and in Watsonville, it's 51 as well. We're at 61 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios, and the official time is 10:06 and 25 seconds on this Saturday, December 19th, 2009. Up next, we have the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ and the crew in there. Stay tuned, KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
You're getting all these well-deserved compliments, Nikki.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were talking about you behind your back.
I knew it.
Positive. Everybody loves
every
you.
Every time I turn my back.
Yeah, particularly your choice of bumper music, which we talked about before.
Oh, thanks.
It's very, very appropriate.
Aw.
Yeah, and so James in Monterey has called, and I want to tell him to... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Marcella.
You want to talk about Marcella?
Yeah, just a quick point. The last caller, Marcella from Salinas, just made a couple points that I don't want to just leave dangling. First of all, the issue of vaccines, very hot topic here and nationally, but a couple points that need to be made. People who really study public health have said that over the last 100 years, there have been two changes that have dramatically increased the life expectancy of people in our country. One of them is the availability of clean water. The other is vaccinations. We have to remember that life expectancy at the turn of last century, meaning 1900, was around 42. And now we look at the life expectancy today of about 78 to 82. And in big part, I think that is because of vaccinations. And her second comment about the rates of autism. Yes, we do have a lot of autism in this country. Starting to be understood on a genetic level. There's a genetic basis to it. There's probably some environmental triggers as well. But the role of vaccines as a trigger for autism, there really now is a good body of evidence. 8 good studies with a total of 3 million children in these studies not showing a link between MMR and autism.
Not showing
a link.
Boy.
And so when people really start throwing around the MMR autism, there really is a body of scientific data now with 3 million children enrolled in this study. So I would challenge people who still make that assertion to show.
Even the caller, I know that the caller who's called before has 2 autistic children. And what are the chances of that happening? She attributes that to
we know there's some genetics to it. And then there's probably some environmental or multiple environmental triggers that are at play here. And that isn't very well worked out what those environmental triggers, but the scientific data now really does not suggest that or really disproves that MMR is one of those triggers. Finally, she touched on thimerosal, and as you know, probably the caller knows that there is no thimerosal in the vaccines since 2002, and also a growing study body of evidence that does not show any damage with the trace amounts of thimerosal that was used as a preservative in vaccines before 2002. But just to touch on those points, but don't want to use the whole rest of the hour talking about that.
Especially since we have a couple of other things here that we need to deal with. But, you know, before we do that, let's officially open hour number two, because we have a new case commentary also. But let's do
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
One of our guests, Susan True, is just cracking up now. She doesn't know what's going on, or maybe she's just totally amused by what's going on. I'm going to have to ask her what she finds so hysterical.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, Susan, now your mic is on.
Oh, it's our lounge nightclub music on a Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. Well, that is the way we traditionally open hour number two. I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it says it's time for that wonderful record show, and it's not a record show. But we've been using it. It's just tradition. I mean, that's a sexy babe that recorded that promo in the 50s when this was an old fogey music radio station. And when I was a kid, I thought, boy, that jingle is totally out of, you know, it wasn't make sense for this kind of a station. So one of the first things I did when I became the owner of the radio station is drag that out of the mothballs and start playing it, you know, just tradition, right? So anyhow, we're talking about positive parenting, but first things first, I want to open hour number two with a couple of things. I feel really bad because we have a veterinary show, Dr. Pete, great veterinarian, who's on at 1 o'clock, I believe, on Sundays. And among many other things that Dr. Pete is involved in, he's involved in model railroading. And he sent me an email this week to ask if he could call into the Saturday program give a little promo for an activity that's happening. And I believe it's in downtown Santa Cruz today, and I believe it's at the McPherson Art and History Museum, because that's where it was last year. I spaced out and didn't answer his email, and I just feel awful about it, so I'm going to do my best to pretend that Dr. Pete had called in today, which I'm sure he would have if I would have had the courtesy to answer his email. I just got tied up doing all the things I get tied up doing. So anyhow, I don't want to send you on a wild goose chase either. If anybody out there listening and can verify that there is a great model railroad thing happening at the McPherson Art and History Center just on Front Street in downtown Santa Cruz, give a call. Or if you want to take a chance and go on down there this afternoon, Even if it's not there, you'll be happy you did, because there's all kinds of other stuff, and there's a bunch of funny people down there that will entertain you and this and that. So it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Also want to let you know that the Santa Cruz County Deputy Sheriff's Association and PLM Productions are presenting the third annual Santa Cruz County Children's Holiday Party, hosted by the Santa Cruz Elks Lodge and Five Star Catering. This event is free for children and their parents, who will take place Sunday. That's tomorrow, from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Santa Cruz Elks Lodge, 150 Jewell Street, 15150 Jewell Street. You know, that's across and up the hill from the graveyard in Santa Cruz. And it says, join us for a holiday movie on a big screen, decorate your own holiday cookies, play Xbox and Wii games on 20-foot screens, wrestle your friends in sumo suits, and participate in many other games and forms of entertainment, maybe even a visit from Santa Claus. The event, started in 2007, was inspired by Philip Mobley of PLM Productions as a means of providing an opportunity for the less fortunate children of Santa Cruz County to celebrate the holidays as children should. Please come join us for a free evening of fun and holiday spirit. Once again, that's tomorrow, December 20th. It says 2008, but I'm hoping it's a typo. It really means 2009, right? Okay, 5 to 9 p.m. Santa Cruz Elks Lodge, 150 Jewel Street in Santa Cruz. Okay, let's see. Now the only other thing we must do is play Kay's commentary. So take it away, Nikki. I mean, it's there somewhere, isn't it?
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
My friend radio talk host David Allen urged me to share some of Ben Stein's recent observations, which are philosophically right on. So I will. And of course, I must include some of my own thoughts. Ben Stein admits, as a Jew, he likes the holiday of Christmas and the beautiful trees, festivities, and the altogether caring for one another human mood. I agree. And as a Jewess, also, I have always respected and admired Jesus, despite not accepting him as being divine, because in the Ten Commandments, God spells it out, that he, God, is the one and only God. I deeply honor Jesus, the Jew, mainly because when he came into this crazy dog-eat-dog world, he taught everyone about love and loving one another, the most beautiful gift of all. It probably bewildered humans at first, but through the centuries, people have learned to agree that love and peace are the answer. Back to the wisdom of Ben Stein and the here and now. Stein laments that we Americans are reluctant to speak of God and religion, and that's sad. And slowly we're forcing our leaders to make laws rejecting God and religion. Along those lines, Stein points out that Billy Graham's daughter Anne was interviewed on radio and asked, how could God let something like Katrina and its devastation happen? Anne Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of recent events, terrorists, attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started with Madeline Murray O'Hare. She was murdered, her body found a few years ago. She complained that she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we all said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love thy neighbor as yourself. And we said, okay. Then Dr. Benjamin Spock admonished, we shouldn't strike our children when they misbehave because their little personalities will be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. Because an expert like Dr. Spock should know what he's talking about, we all said, okay. For whatever reason, Dr. Spock's own son committed suicide. Now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, are insensitive, why many of them do not know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them about killings of strangers, classmates, and themselves. Perhaps it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. And finally, funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world is going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say, but question what the Bible says. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene articles pass freely through cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in schools and workplace. Kudos to you, Ben Stein, for your thoughts. I agree. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Father and son, Cat Stevens. Great bumper music.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got. But you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, the same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know.
Perfect choice. What a perfect choice. That would be a great theme song for an ongoing program with this topic, don't you think? Nikki, thank you very much. We don't normally let bumper music, play out the whole song, but that's always been one of my favorite songs, Father and Son, from Cat Stevens, T for the Tillerman album, 1970, I think. And anyhow, welcome back to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special on positive parenting. We have invited phone calls. You can call us at 479-1080 in area 831. You can email us at mz@ksco.com. Our guests today are Suzanne Stone, Executive Director Above the Line, which is a local nonprofit foster family agency. Dr. Jim Bennett, pediatrician at Capitola Pediatrics, and also the medical director of pediatrics at Dominican Hospital, and Suzanne True, Executive Director of First Five Santa Cruz County, helping children from birth to 5 years old, developing research-based programs and so forth. So we're having an interesting program. We'd like you to participate. Again, 479-1080 is the number to call. James in Monterey, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Well, hi. Just to digress for a moment into Kay's speech. Ben, someone said that two airplanes collapsed three skyscrapers, and Kay and Ben believed them. So as far as their deductive intelligence, they get a vote of no confidence from me, along with Dr. David Spencer, who was the director of the Center of Disease Control in 1976 when he was personally involved in
you've waited a long time, I guess, just to sync our program today, and I'm not going to let you do it, so goodbye. Mary Lou in Santa Cruz, welcome to the KSCO Saturday special.
Thanks, Michael, and thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
I've got a question about how you get children to eat healthy foods. A lot of my friends say that they offer their kids fruits and vegetables, and they just don't want to eat them, and they end up thinking they have to at least feed them something because they're going to not be nourished otherwise. And so I'd like to know what your guest strategies they have for kids eating fruits and vegetables.
Who wants to go first?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
It actually does tie, I think, into our discussion about stress and how to reduce stress. We all forget about the importance of good nutrition, and that actually works in our body to decrease stress by the release of antioxidants. And so I think it's a great question and actually ties in well. But it is recommended 5 servings of fruits or vegetables a day, and it is a challenge for some kids. I think it's important for parents to, first of all, be good role models. And because so much of kids' behavior is going to be mimicking of parents' behavior. So if we're not eating well ourselves, we shouldn't expect our children to. A lot of it, too, is buying what we bring into the home. So make sure that you're not having more tempting alternatives, chips and candies that obviously any child, if choosing between those two, is going to choose the more tempting food to eat. Kids will eventually eat what they need. It's important, I think, for parents to keep offering. Studies show that it does take a child about 7 exposures of a vegetable that they don't like before they will start to eat it. And I think just being persistent and keep offering it, sometimes look how it visibly appears, is very important to children. So try to mix it in different ways so it visually looks different. But I think just keep trying, because kids will eventually eat it if exposed enough.
Wait a minute. Does Susan want to talk?
Thanks for your call, Mary Lou. I would also suggest making it fun. So one of the things we like to do with young children is think about eating the colors of the rainbow. And as young children are learning colors and getting excited about what they know, you can think about, you know, offering foods that are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple, and get them excited about just eating the colors of the rainbow.
Like M&Ms, huh?
Not like M&Ms, like bananas.
Oh, okay. I need the color part.
And the other thing, we're trying to help parents think about nutrition in terms of a lot of healthy lifestyles and behaviors. And I want to welcome you to the 52-10 approach to everyday living. So 52-10 is a great way for parents to remember some guidelines for their kids. So the 5 in 52-10 is 5 fruits and vegetables a day, as Dr. Bennett said. The 2 is limiting to no more than 2 hours of screen time. And we're talking about screen time. That's TV, that's time in front of video games, that's all sorts of anything that has a screen, no more than 2 hours. At least 1 hour a day, this is the 1, 52-10, of at least 1 hour a day of vigorous play or exercise. And the 0, 52-10, is for no sugary drinks. That's none. There's no reason to have, for young children to have
Amen.
Coke and root beer
Amen.
And all that stuff.
Oh, that's great.
So 52-10 is a good thing to remember, and eating the colors of the rainbow can make it more fun for kids to try new things.
Having kids be involved in a garden, too, really enhances that. I've been impressed with my kids' school. They have a life lab, and I've just been amazed at how excited they've been to bring home vegetables that have been grown in their life lab, and they've seen the process of where the food comes from, and they feel much more connected to it. And it's really been an eye-opener to me that they're much more willing to try it if they know where it came from. And so if families can get involved in a garden, it really can help that process too.
You can also get children involved in preparing the food, because when they've prepared something, they're highly motivated to eat it. And there are, if you go online, you can find recipes for like child-friendly vegetables. There are ways to sneak things into soups. You can puree things so that, you know, they're not seeing the vegetable standing out in there, but they're actually eating it. So you just have to be creative and do some research and include your child in the process.
And do not load it up with sugar. Anything,
exactly.
Not just the soft drinks that Susan was talking about. By the way, we can't leave the M&M thing without, I've got to ask this question. I know it's not relevant, but I just have to, if you're just going to eat one, you know, sparingly, are you eating an M and one M&M, or are you just eating an M?
Where's the dictionary?
I just wonder what, anyhow. All righty, Scott is calling from his own valley.
Thank you, Michael. It's a most serious subject. Last week, a caller called lamenting that CPS wasn't involved with Jim Jones. The truth is, they were very much involved. In fact, they gave 100 foster children to him who were later all murdered. How does forcing a family apart with the power of a gun supposed to reduce stress? Removing children causes tremendous harm to the individual and family, and what's best for the child is what's best for the family.
Scott, that's not the subject today at all.
Well, you people train foster children, and post-traumatic stress disorder is twice as high in children who have been through the foster care system than in Vietnam vets. You people are blind to the evils of the foster care. Even my dog. I wouldn't even let my dog stay with a stranger, let alone my children. You know, and,
okay.
You know, foster care does more
Scott,
harm than good.
Scott, we're trying to do a nice service to the community, and you're calling to sink the ship, too.
Well, sir, there's 300. They were talking about the allegations. This county has the highest rate of neglect and
let's make that a separate program, Scott, okay? Let's do that and you can be the guest here, okay?
Thank you, Michael.
That'd be great. Let's do that, but let's not sink the ship here. Let's not knock things off track on what's otherwise a really good program. Yeah, go ahead, Susan, you wanted to say something?
Well, I just, if there's any foster parent listening and just heard that, I want to counter with a thank you for people who have opened their homes and developed loving relationships with children who need a safe place to be, and offering children a place where they can rebound and thrive. And it is certainly, they have had very stressful lives, and it's very stressful to not be with their own families, and foster parents are dealing with kids who are, you know, extremely stressed and need a lot. And so this is just a thank you to any foster parent who may be listening for doing that.
Yeah, that's great. In fact, maybe we should develop, maybe we should dedicate more of this program to explaining how people can become foster parents and so forth. I mean, it's a wonderful.
And there are a lot of great ways to get involved with children. That if you're a community member and you're concerned about children, there are many ways. There is becoming a foster parent. There's being a CASA volunteer, a court-appointed special advocate. That volunteer is appointed by the court to work one-on-one with a child as they go through the system as an advocate. There are ways to get involved at the holidays in the kinds of programs that Suzanne described earlier, in gift giving and providing gift certificates. And our schools always need help. There are teachers who are dying for someone to come in and just help tutor kids who are a little behind. So there are all sorts of ways to get involved and help children.
Okay, Scott in Scotts Valley, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. And, yeah, go ahead, Suzanne.
I'd just like to say that I can understand Scott's concern. And children do come into foster care with post-traumatic stress disorder because of the abuse and neglect that they've experienced. And I want to reassure him that becoming a foster parent is not an easy and quick thing, that foster parents go through a very extensive screening process. They are asked about their family history, how they parent children. They have background checks. They have extensive hours of training. They're very closely supervised in foster family agencies such as ours, regular contact. Children are spoken with on a regular basis to ask them how things are going in foster care. It's very, very closely monitored. And I certainly agree with Susan that foster parents should be deeply thanked. We have a lot of gratitude towards them for taking other people's children into their home and trying to provide the most loving, caring, supportive, and growth-promoting environment possible.
Okay. You want to give us a call here at KSCO? It's 479-1080 in area 831 if you want to participate in the program. We'd love to hear you. We'd love to hear from you. So long as you stay on the subject and not do everything you can to make our guests feel uncomfortable, because we don't want people, we don't want to invite people into KSCO and have it be anything other than a positive experience. It doesn't mean that you can't have an opinion. And Scott is a regular caller to KSCO, and he feels very, very deeply and strongly about this particular issue of child protective services. And I know we have a number of other callers who feel very, very strongly about this issue. But it's the role of the program here is not to call and create problems for the program. Let's make that a separate topic. Maybe we can get CPS to come and be on the radio, and then let Scott interview them. I think they'd show up. Probably not, huh? All righty, Dave Allen's our next caller. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael. Good program. I was going to hang you up because of the lady there just kind of answered my question. And but I didn't want to see me disappear off the dial. But it seems like I've talked to many women and young women, whatever, probably back in the day when they didn't have this kind of scrutiny and supervision over the homes, the foster homes. Because I don't want to be negative, but it seems like a lot of, especially women I've talked to over the years that were foster children, got molested and all this kind of creepy stuff, you know. So what the lady just said could answer a lot of those questions.
Oh, okay. So, all righty. Well, I guess you stayed on to say that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people, why are you hanging up for?
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, I when people call me, either on the talk radio station, either on the air or privately, you know, and I could see from the call waiting that someone called, from the caller ID that someone called, and there's no voicemail message, I say, what the hell do you call for if you're not even going to leave a message if you can't reach, you know? And yeah, so thanks, Dave. Appreciate
all right,
your call. All right, it's the KSCO Saturday Special Hour number 2, let's take the commercial break right now, and then I'll log into my email, and let's see if there's any emails. KSCO AM 1080, Saturday Special. We will be back after this commercial break.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday Special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
Please join us for the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus Annual Home for the Holidays Christmas Concert at First Congregational Church, Santa Cruz, on Saturday, December 19th at 7 p.m. Don't miss their humorous homage to Julia Child, reincarnated live on stage. Ticket information is available at www.fccsantacruz.org or by calling the church at 426-2010. First Congregational Church is located at 900 High Street in Santa Cruz.
The place to find gifts those who work the land can use, really use, is at Webb's Farm Supplies, your BCS power equipment dealer. Webb's Farm Supplies is your one-stop shop for power gifts like BCS tillers, bush mowers, and chipper shredders. Webb's also carries long-wearing, great-fitting clothing items that are perfect for working in the great outdoors. Give gifts that can be used, really used, from Webb's Farm Supplies and BCS Power on Old San Jose Road in Soquel, 475-1020, 475-1020, or webbsfarmsupplies.com.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits for school science project.
Need a splitter.
Four camera shoot.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server for doctor's office.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it. With the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hi folks, Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
It's becoming increasingly more difficult for hard-pressed businesses to maintain their employee health insurance plans. If you are a business person in search of lower-cost alternative, I may have the answer for you. This strategy can help your employees pay for individual or family health plans through payroll deductions, and these individual plans may cost as little as one-third the group plans. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the options to help your employees access their own individual health plan. I will make sure that they get the assistance that they need to choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
The gloom and doom are rolling in like tule fog, but we can fight them back with light. Hello, Michael Olson here for the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. One of the best ways to add light and warmth to your winter evenings is with a fresh, ever-so-fragrant Lions Club Christmas tree. And get this. Now you can buy a Lions Club Noble Fir for only $25. That's right. The best Christmas tree in the world, the Noble Fir, is yours for only $25 from the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. Hurry down to the Lions Club Christmas tree lot and take your choice of any tree on the lot for only $25. This is a first-come, first-served offer. So tell your friends they've waited long enough to save money. And for a little extra warmth, know that 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of a lion tree will help your neighbors see and hear and your youth grow into productive citizens. Pick up the spirits of your family and friends with a Christmas tree from the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. Now through Sunday, only $25. The lot is located at the Elks Club, Graham Hill and Jewel Street, across from the cemetery. Happy holidays.
From Floors Etc. in SoCal. All of us would like to wish all of you the merriest of holiday seasons and a joyous new year.
What'd you say, Dr. Jim?
I found it interesting, the lead in music, Welcome to the Jungle Now. We've gone from Teach Your Children Well to Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, no, no, no. This is not Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
Guns and
Nikki,
Roses.
There you
please.
Go. I got the band right, the song wrong.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, we got about 17 minutes remaining this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. I do have a couple of emails, one about vaccines. Glad the topic was brought up. They are toxic and mostly bad news for babies. Autism is just the tip of the iceberg, as you may know. We chose not to vaccinate our children. This topic will electrify the show on the phone lines. Should you pursue it in hour number two? Well, we're not going to do that because we don't want to do that. There's plenty of times to do that, and we don't care if the phone lines light up. Take that, Glenn. Okay, take that. Yes. So let's see what else here. Oh, Arnold Robinson wants to talk about Kay's commentary. Hi, Michael. Remember when your mom got slammed for reading the supposed news story about the fire that the folks that lived at were at work, being they were being that they were white? It was a funny joke. I sent a heads up to you guys suggesting that maybe Kay should check with Snopes before she reads something that she has received as an email on the air, as that news story, in quotes, was actually just a joke. Well, I just heard her read what Ben Stein supposedly wrote, and while some of it are correctly attributed, parts were added that were not Ben Stein. Here's the link. Okay. I don't understand why the hell people write phony emails and send them around while using others' names, etc. Just one of the weird things going on these days, I guess. Happy holidays to you and yours. That's signed Arnold in North Carolina, who listens to us on the internet. Yeah, by the way, Arnold, Snopes, who died and left Snopes in charge of all the truth in the world? I think Snopes is full of it, myself. And I think there have been some studies and some research about that. Anyhow, back to the program. Suzanne, we've been trying to get to the topic of the challenges of children from divorced homes. We're finally going to do it. It's all yours.
Thank you. That's something I think we need to add to the mix over the holidays, is the children that come from divorced parents or separated parents, and what they experience in terms of conflicted loyalties. Parents may have unresolved disputes in their own relationships, and the children get included in knowing about that, and it's difficult for them. They can't solve their parents' problems, but they feel the loyalty conflict. Also, having to go from one home to another during the week. Oftentimes, children spend part of the week with one parent, and then they go spend the rest with the other. And that causes a lot of difficulties for them, just on a practical level of, where's their homework? What books do they have? They don't have the supplies they need. They left something at mom's or dad's. And so that adds to their stress at school. And adjusting to step-parents can be a big challenge, no matter how loving the step-parent is. She's not your mother. She's not your father. How do you integrate a new family member? They're often step-siblings that they have to adjust to, that there are jealousies around, feeling like that child might get more attention than they do. So there's a myriad of challenges that children in divorced and separated families have to deal with, and particularly around the holidays. I know Dr. Bennett was going to talk about some of the conflicts that he's aware of.
Well, it is hard, I think, as Suzanne touched on, with families. Here we talk about simplifying the holidays and quality time, and I think it's particularly challenging when kids are shuttling between two homes. I don't have a great solution for that, but just a realization that it's an extra stress for these kids, and as much as there can be consistency among the two homes during the holidays and outside the holiday times, as far as routines, daily routines, mealtime routines, bedtime routines, we counsel families about consistency with rules. That really helps kids if they know what the rules are in both homes and that they're fairly consistent. Sure, there's going to be differences, and that's to be expected. But as much as the day-to-day running of the homes are consistent, that really helps. And then, as you touched on, really airing out the differences between the two separated adults without the kids being right in the middle of the mix, I think, is important for the mental health of these children.
I would just add that I think it's important that if there is a new parent in the family, a step parent or a girlfriend or boyfriend of the original parent, that it's important that that the parent and the child have one-on-one time together that's without the new partner. Sometimes kids feel displaced by the new relationship. They feel like they don't fit in. They're not important anymore to their mom or dad. So I think it's really important that the mom or dad spends time with the child without the new girlfriend and the new step-siblings and the new whoever, that they get the one-on-one, get to reconnect, get to feel important to the parent.
We've got about 12 minutes left on the program today, and if you want to give us a call, we're in the home stretch, 479-1080, if you want to get on the air with us. Tammy in Boulder Creek, you're up next.
Hey, thank you, MZ. You know, I really do hope you set this up as a pilot program and keep going with this, and maybe set it up for real debate somehow, because you've got three people that are really basically all supporting the same viewpoint, and opposing viewpoint doesn't seem to be too well accepted so far, so I'm kind of afraid to say anything. But the hepatitis B shot, for sure, following after Marcella's testimony, I'm speaking up about it. That is definitely what sent social workers after me for the first time in my life. I've never committed any crime. I've never done anything wrong. Yet my children have been removed from my care twice for a total of 62 days. Each time that it happened, it caused unbelievable damage. And as far as your studies and allegations, it's totally skewed, because all allegations are considered facts in the juvenile court system. And parental rights are just steadily being eroded away, and especially this new health care bill. If you think that, you know, the government should have more power to come in and take care of children than parents do, I guess we're in for socialism.
Dr. Jim has something he wants to ask you, I think.
Well, boy, that's not my experience with the hepatitis B vaccine in the hospital. I mean, there are families that choose not to start the hepatitis B vaccine in the newborn period. And you know, you actually have to sign a consent in order to get the vaccine. And so for people to decide not to certainly doesn't cause a red flag in any CPS system at all.
I got a social worker visit me in my hospital room the first day of my child's life, telling me what books to read and how I should go along with herd immunity. And then they came to my house within a week after that, okay, with a newborn baby. I had home births with the rest of them. I guess that was their big problem. That was the first one I had in the hospital. But even in the hospital, I had the doctor didn't check the placenta, and I had a huge piece of the placenta came out the next day, and because I was crying and in pain or whatever, they thought that I had, you know, mental health problems and wasn't happy about my new birth. And in fact, I was very unhappy physically because of the doctor being neglectful.
I see. Well, I can assure you that the hepatitis B vaccine, the declining the hepatitis B vaccine, at least at Dominican Hospital, and I'm aware of the policies around the county, does not trigger a CPS referral by any
means. Does when you go to emergency in a hospital and tell them that you're 9.5 months pregnant and that you really shouldn't be going through a jury trial that might last 3 or 4 days or something because you have health issues with your feet, you know, and getting to and from here to Watsonville, 40 minutes or something like this, they don't care. I could not get a doctor to give me a little note to say that, you know, I told them, I said, I can handle this, but I don't think this baby can. They put me through a criminal trial for supposed neglect of my children, whatever you guys call that, because when they get in foster care, they get molested, which is way worse.
Tammy, get us some names, okay? I would really like to do what I told you, what I told Scott, and now you.
Yeah.
I would really like to do that. Get us some names of some people for us to invite.
Yeah, I want
to
do that.
To be on the radio, okay? And we'll invite
you on. Yeah,
let's
protect the nuclear families, because look at the stats. Those are the families that should be left alone.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. It was Tammy in Boulder Creek. Here's Rory in Watsonville. Rory, welcome to the Saturday Special. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. At the beginning of the program, one of your guests said that there were no, and I don't think she meant completely none, any kind of teaching or educational material on parenting, and maybe she could clarify that, and I have a suggestion for a curriculum.
What I said was that parenting was not taught in the schools. There are great resources for parenting education in any library and bookstore, but there are not general formal classes that all students have to take to learn parenting skills.
Okay, and I would say that's a more recent development, because I think years past there was. But one curriculum that my wife and I found helpful, and we had already started the family was a curriculum called Growing Kids God's Way by the Ezzos, E-Z-Z-O, and terrific, very helpful, very well thought. You know, you get with a group of people, and it's an audio, or no, I'm sorry, it's a video series. You have a workbook and everything. So there's some good, very helpful material. And parenting is probably the most difficult job that we face in our lives. Right after, you know, I mean, quickly following on that would be any kind of career work. But to do a good job parenting takes a lot of planning, preparation, foresight. If you just won't. So, and then one last thing is the pediatricians that is there. Have you ever heard of Dr., I believe it's Mark Geyer, G-E-I-E-R, and his work with regard to vaccines, toxins, autism, et cetera?
No, I haven't.
Check it out. I heard him interviewed a couple weeks ago. It's Dr. Mark, and his last name is G-E-I-E-R. Tremendous. I mean, he got down on the metabolic, biochemical level, having to do with testosterone and the interactions with testosterone, with some of the toxins that might come through vaccines, whether it's leftover thimerosal, because it is still in some flu vaccine, or other issues. But it was quite informative. It was like a college level or medical school level discussion that you would probably appreciate. And I would commend you to listen to him and get some info. And for our family, we did vaccinate at the beginning. We had a bad reaction with one kid. We stopped vaccinating on the last three. I got to stop and think for a second. The last four. And no issues. And the other thing that's very important for everybody to remember is that vaccines, or they can be helpful sometimes, they do not confirm lifelong immunity. And so there are caveats with vaccines. They're not a gloss over, cover all your problems for the future. So thank
Rory,
you for your time.
Thank you for calling the Saturday special. Susan, I think you wanted to respond to something.
Right. I wanted to thank Rory for bringing up that there are parent education classes available that fit all different kinds of family needs and values. And certainly faith-based communities often offer them. Our family resource centers throughout the county offer parenting education, as well as our hospitals have some great parent education and preparation programs. So we also, through First Five, have a kit for every new parent in the county, and you're welcome to call our office at 465-2217. We have a free resource for you with a DVD and books about child development, and that can go to any new parent in the county. So
what about a website? You've got a website too, right?
We have a website. It's first5scc for santacruzcounty.org, and it's the word first and the digit five. And we're happy to offer that to families and as they figure out how to raise their new child.
I don't know why we didn't do this at the beginning of, much closer to the beginning of the program, Suzanne. You said something that could be controversial off the air here during a break, I think. What was that?
I just don't recall, Michael. Oh, actually, I do. What I said was that I personally don't believe in punishment for children. I don't think punishment is effective.
Anything at all. No punishment at all.
No, because I don't. Punishment is punitive. There was a reference in your mother's talk about spanking. And when she said that, I thought, isn't it interesting in our culture that it's okay to hit a child, spank a child, but if you hit an adult, it's considered battery. Why isn't it considered battery to spank
Very
a child?
Very interesting. I never stopped to think about that.
And it doesn't. It's not related to the problem.
I'm not saying I agree with you, but it is very interesting. Yeah. At what age does it become battery when you're hitting some? When does it stop being you're disciplining your kid and start being battery?
I think with CPS, it's when there are bruises. That's the defining line there. But I believe in what I said in the beginning, that with children, we want to teach children with respect. We want to teach children responsibility and cooperation. And the way that we do that is by modeling our own actions and then by teaching them why their behavior is inappropriate in whatever setting it's in, and then helping them to learn what they can do differently, and having them be part of coming up with a solution. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't natural consequences in life for different behaviors. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I don't want to come from a punitive way. I want to come from a teaching way. I want to look at what's my desired outcome, and is being physically violent, which I think spanking is, to a child going to teach that child anything other than to resent me and not trust me as an adult?
Okay. Well, I lost my vocabulary. I forgot what I was going to say. That's going to put a seal on the Saturday special for today. Nikki has informed me on the computer screen that she has my holiday greeting ready if I want. This will be a world premiere. Everybody else has been doing a holiday greeting for years on this station. No one's ever asked me to do it. So I took the initiative to just ask myself if I could do a holiday greeting, and here it is.
Hey, it's MZ. Remember me? I've been feeling left out for years because it's been that long since I've been asked to do a holiday greeting to y'all. So I'm going to do it right now. No one asked me, so I just had to sort of ask myself if I could do a holiday greeting. Happy holidays. No. Merry Christmas. No. Happy Hanukkah. No. Happy Kwanzaa. No. Happy everything. Happy New Year. From MZ at KSCO.com, a brand new media company to be.
Okay, really want to thank our guests today, Suzanne Stone, Dr. Jim Bennett, and Susan True. Hopefully this will be a pilot for a new program. Hopefully you could keep that nice music running, Nikki. That's great, and I will add the "That's all, folks" to here. Yeah, this is here.
That's all, folks.
This program will be rebroadcast tonight between 10 and midnight. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here is Fox News.
Let's go live to Washington and Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz.
Calling it a major step forward, the president praised the agreement reached on the major domestic policy goal of his administration.
We are on the cusp of making health care reform a reality in the United States of America.
The president acknowledging that many liberals in his party are unhappy with the compromises made, but he said recent changes have made the bill stronger. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham notes the president failed to achieve his goal of a bipartisan bill.
We're changing one-sixth of the economy, and you can't get one Republican vote. Now, that says a lot.
Republicans resenting that the bill was rushed through, is rather being rushed through by Christmas, with nearly 400 pages of changes that were only just revealed. Karen?
The only thing that's really moving on the East Coast? Plows. A rare December nor'easter is hanging its head along the Atlantic.
The D.C. area's airports are open, but few flights are landing or leaving. On Long Island, east of New York City, they're talking about life-threatening conditions. Big snow coupled with big wind, and now there's word of a second storm that could hit New York for Christmas.
Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson reporting from Maryland. Retailers aren't happy with all this white stuff. They're trying to rake in all they can on the last Saturday before Christmas. And some shoppers are braving the storm, like this one in North Carolina.
My daughter said, "Mama, before you do anything else today, you better go get me some sled."
But authorities in most places would like you to stay in if you're enjoying this nor'easter and off the road, so plows can do their jobs. A Kansas man saw a car back out of a driveway and over his neighbor's six-year-old daughter. Kristen Hoff can't believe that Nick Harris managed to lift that vehicle off her girl. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1994. Senator Ted Kennedy.
Jackie would have preferred to be just herself, but the world insisted that she be a legend, too.
Police in Anaheim say they are following a white Ford Bronco, and that is O.J. Simpson with a gun to his head.
You guys have got to be strong because you are, I just feel in my heart that you're okay, but you got to take care of each other.
Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with two counts of murder in connection with the deaths of her children.
It's not a Republican victory. It's not a Democratic victory. It is the American people making a set of choices.
get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
News as it happened then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Check your medicine cabinets.
Procter & Gamble recalling 700,000 packs of its Vicks DayQuil capsules. The recall only affects DayQuil cold and flu 24-count Liquicaps bonus pack, distributed between September 2008 and February 2009, and September and December of 2009. The reason? The Consumer Product Safety Commission saying they don't contain child-resistant packaging, even though it says so on the box. Consumers can contact the company for a refund or replacement. Those that wish to continue using the product should keep it out of the reach of children. Lisa Lucera, Fox News Radio.
A big earthquake in Taiwan. Buildings in Taipei shook for several seconds after that quake hit. It was a 6.4. News reports out of Taiwan indicate at least four people are hurt, most of them by falling debris. The quake was centered off the coast, but no tsunami warning was issued. A 7.6 rattler 10 years ago killed over 2,300 people. Two former popes, a step closer to being saints.
Pope Benedict XVI moves two former popes closer to sainthood. As expected, the Vatican approving the heroic virtues for Pope John Paul II. But the surprise today was the same decree for the wartime Pope Pius XII. There's been much debate about his actions during World War II, with defenders saying he did all he could to save Jews, and others claiming he didn't do enough to stop the Holocaust. In Rome, Greg Burke, Fox News Radio.
That nor'easter blowing ashore in New York today is not going to be pretty. Still, a gaggle of bicyclists say they're going to ride through the Williamsburg part of Brooklyn to protest the removal of a bike lane. Did we mention they'll be doing this naked? The bike lane was removed from the Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. Bike activists say it's because the conservative group doesn't want to see scantily clad women, which could mean women in shorts. One community activist says that's not true and that it's a matter of safety. New York, by the way, is expecting a high of 31. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Thank you.